We're going to try to set aside how we feel about the election results, whether we're happy, sad, confused, and just get your overall initial thoughts. What would be your one big takeaway from the election results? And maybe Chelsea, we'll start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, honestly, I'm a little surprised that we know the results already. I remember 2020, it was a Saturday, the Saturday after the election when we finally heard the results.
Hello and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the platform that brings financial reporting, ESG audit, and risk teams together to help you provide assured integrated reporting. Now that's a candidate I can get behind. My name is Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. Looking forward to debiting a great conversation, and I'm so happy to have you with us. Joining me, as always, is Catherine Tsai. Catherine, why don't you pitch your platform to our listeners?
My name is Catherine Tsai. I'm an Off the Books co-host, professional asker of questions, and an election just happened, and I was wondering what it means for accounting, finance, risk, audit, and sustainability folks. So we thought we would ask some people who know a thing or two about those personas. And so we have with us here today Chelsea Hall and Mark Mellon. Chelsea, could you introduce yourself?
Yes, thanks, Catherine. I am Chelsea Hall. I'm an industry principal at Workiva. And Catherine, noting the topics that you wanted to discuss, I have an audit background, and with Workiva, I primarily focus on SEC reporting and financial reporting.
All right, and Mark.
My name is Mark Mellon. I am an industry principal as well at Workiva, focused on ESG. My background is a bit unique. I spent time across financial audit, internal audit, and a majority of my time prior to Workiva in ESG assurance and advisory. So happy to try to share some of those perspectives based on the topic today.
Well, Steve, what do you think about doing like a lightning round sort of reaction to the election?
I'm a huge fan of lightning round. If I'm in a round, it's going to be lightning. Let's do
it. Okay. All right. So this might be a little bit hard. We're going to try to set aside how we feel about the election results, whether we're happy, sad, confused, and just get your overall initial thoughts. What would be your one big takeaway from the election results? And maybe Chelsea, we'll start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, honestly, I'm a little surprised that we know the results already. I remember 2020, it was a Saturday, the Saturday after the election when we finally heard the results. And I was anticipating a similar outcome this election cycle. Like when I saw the invite for this podcast, like it was only a couple days after the election, I was like, we're going to be rescheduling that podcast because we're not going to know the results. And I stand corrected. I think it just shows that people were really ready for a change. You know, really the hardships of the economy, I think, really resonated with a lot of voters. And I think we saw that in the election results.
When I think about this from a perspective of a sustainability professional, it's probably some uncertainty as we look toward the future. So I think there's a lot of things being discussed. At the end of the day, I think a lot of the expectations that we saw prior to the election will probably still be in place broadly as we think of what's going on globally. But I think we'll get into more of that shortly.
Yeah, and I think actually from a financial reporting standpoint, I know Chelsea and I have talked about this as well, is actually kind of the same thing, but maybe in the other direction, where you see a little bit of an easing of perhaps financial reporting requirements, enforcement by the SEC. I don't know if I would describe the current relationship with the SEC and public companies as adversarial. That's probably a little bit too strong, but I certainly think the tone and the tenor is going to change with SEC interactions, including enforcement, filing review process, and so forth.
Let's get into it. What do you think are the changes ahead from an SEC perspective?
You know, as with any new incoming president, they're going to have a new SEC chair. I think we all can accept that Gary Gensler's probably on his way out. That's probably to be expected. And I think what we've heard from the Trump campaign is just like maybe some decreased regulation. I think, you know, we'll see a new direction. I mean, I can't predict everything, but a new direction with the climate disclosure rules that the SEC released earlier this year in March that are currently stayed. I don't think we'll see any changes to cybersecurity. However, I do know the Trump administration has talked about maybe rolling back Joe Biden's executive order on artificial intelligence. But I think the biggest talking point from an SEC's perspective will likely be climate and sustainability disclosure laws.
I think we can probably expect that the new SEC or the new commissioner of the SEC under a new administration would probably not pursue, you know, creating rules or pursuing the existing climate rule. And we hadn't seen anything other than an agenda item related to human capital. So I wouldn't expect them to necessarily pursue that. But at the end of the day, I think that sort of makes it more challenging for companies here in the U.S. As they are potentially subject to a variety of regulations now, whether it be something like the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive coming out of Europe, or other state or other countries' climate disclosure laws, creates somewhat of a patchwork. Although that's not really different than pre-election either.
Mark, to your point about like human capital, for example, I think the first indication we're going to get there is when the SEC releases their fall regulatory update, which usually doesn't come till the wintertime, which is kind of funny. But it'll be interesting to see, like, if human capital is still on there, you know, maybe some of the other things that we have been waiting on. What's maybe perhaps more important is going to be the amount of Senate seats. It's pretty clear now that the Republicans are going to take back the Senate, and I think it's going to be interesting to see just how strong of a majority that they have. Remember, a new SEC chair, and there will be a new SEC chair. I wouldn't be surprised if Chair Gensler steps down. You know, would you rather like quit or be fired? And I don't know, I'd probably rather quit than be fired, unless there's like an awesome severance. I don't know how severance works in the federal government. But how much of an outsider is going to be able to be confirmed by the Senate? Does the Senate understand how important the role is and kind of like the legal kind of grounding that you have to have? So I think that's going to be something else. Going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. And then, you know, that whole mentality of like, hey, the cop on the beat, you know, Chair Gensler says that a lot, like in every other speech, he kind of refers to the SEC as a cop on the beat. I think that mentality certainly goes away, and you probably see, I think, quite a bit of easing in enforcement cases, you know, the filing review processes of Qs and Ks. And I think people generally, when they interact with the SEC, are probably going to be, at least, you know, after a year or two and a new chair gets in, probably going to be a little less concerned about like, okay, I'm working through a problem with the Division of Corporation Finance. You know, do I need to be worried that enforcement is on the, you know, is on the line listening and just kind of waiting for some indication of a problem? Not to say that that's actually what's been happening lately, but I do think that there's been a little more risk of enforcement cases being brought, and that probably gets walked back just a little bit.
For the SEC climate rule specifically, so is you're thinking that's completely dead then?
At this point, I think the court challenge is relatively moot, because I think a new chair would come in and keep it stayed, or actually just walk back from it completely.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think, you know, in some circumstances, maybe I think from a sustainability professional perspective, makes things a little bit easier. But again, we think about the fragmented nature of regulation around ESG and sustainability disclosure today, whether it's, again, coming out of Europe and the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, or various jurisdictions around the world that are implementing climate disclosure based on the International Sustainability Standards Board standards. You're going to start to see more of that. We obviously have that on the horizon in California. We'll probably start to see additional states step up again. Some of this maybe makes it more complicated. Some of it maybe makes things more easy for companies, but we'll just have to see how things unfold. I would totally expect the SEC under a new chair, under a new administration, to not be pursuing the same types of policies.
A fear I would have in an organization that's maybe US-based but has global operations is they see maybe the results of this election and a direction where they may not have to have the climate disclosures in their SEC filing, and maybe executives at the top of that US-based organization thinking, I don't need to prioritize this anymore, when in reality, if you're a global organization with CSRD, and just like Australia not too long ago came out with sustainability reporting disclosures in Australia, the IASB has come out, and if you have IFRS standards anywhere, you're going to have to report under those ISSB disclosures. And so I would just be if I was a financial reporting SEC director of reporting, I would make sure that my executive team still knows that sustainability is still important and still relevant to your global organization, even if it's not relevant to your SEC filings.
When you think about 50,000 companies that will be subject to the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, it just creates this massive data set for those that want that kind of information to evaluate company performance. It will eventually become the expectation, I think, for companies even beyond those that are doing business globally or that are specifically subject to the regulation just because of the standard that sets in the marketplace.
Mark, one of the things that we talked about, if you're a maybe slightly left-leaning state, let's take California because they've already taken action. Do you think that you now feel compelled to try to pursue more required climate and sustainability reporting? And so that in a way, the SEC walking away from a climate disclosure rule actually ends up having the opposite effect in practice, because now you see states kind of like taking action. And then ironically, again, this is a little more conjecture here, but then ironically, perhaps an SEC rule might have been a slightly easier thing to cope with, because now it's not a patchwork of states, just specifically speaking to the U.S., or it wouldn't have been a patchwork of states because you would have a single rule by the SEC, but now it ends up kind of like the opposite ends up happening.
I would say 100%, and I would take it even toward the next step, which again was not any different based on the outcome of the election, in that the SEC was sort of enabling further fragmentation when we think about climate, the climate disclosure rule that's currently stayed, in comparison to something like the CSRD, which is much more broad and again applies to so many more companies. The SEC is sort of, I don't want to say setting companies up for failure there, but setting them up for complication, right? Because you have to comply with this SEC rule that is climate only, these specific rules that are not the exact same specific rules that you would use to comply with climate and broader disclosure in the EU.
Today's episode is brought to you by Workiva. Like most of us, I like to pretend to eat healthy, or at least not exclusively eat Dino Chicken Nuggies. And that's why I'm a big fan of salad kits. Yes, this is an ad for Workiva, but it is also an ad for salad kits. No longer will I buy a bunch of kale or arugula and sadly watch it turn to green smelly soup in the bottom drawer of my fridge after making a salad for one. No longer will I have to think of crouton pairings, and no longer will I have 14 half-used bottles of dressing in the fridge, even though I know I only like balsamic vinaigrette. I have found culinary convenience in salad kits. With the wonderfully paired dried cranberries, carrot strips, goat cheese, and strawberry vinaigrette, you will find financial reporting, ESG, and audit risk convenience in Workiva. Yes, Workiva. When you've got your SEC reporting, ESG reports, 10-Ks, sustainability reports, SOX compliance, risk assessments, and so much more, dear listener, on the same platform, you've got just the right ingredients right when and where you need them. Toss out that old technology your team never liked to use and try Workiva, tailor-made to your processes without all the extraneous junk that just gums up the works. Plus, it's fat-free and low in sodium.
What about ESG, environmental social governance? Is that even a term that exists anymore after this election?
Oh, shoot. Do we need to bleep out our previous references to ESG now? Crap.
That's for you to debate. What do you think?
I think it wouldn't have mattered the outcome of the election either. I think that term has been politicized for some time at this point. So I think, you know, there'll probably be some continued use of that term and probably some evolution of what that means in practice or how that's used in practice. And we've already seen things like sustainability and non-financial reporting and things like that used that with the things like value creation to describe basically the same thing. I've been in this space now over 15 years, and we've used many terms along that journey.
Steve, I noticed you were having conversations on LinkedIn with one of our repeat guests from the podcast, Michelle Leader of Footnoted.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Michelle has been in this space for a very long time. Michelle, welcome to the podcast. And I don't know, what do you think? Where is this all going to end up at the SEC?
the American public collectively, from a business perspective at least, just vote in a business environment run by Elon Musk?
Look, I mean, Elon Musk's, you know, thoughts on the SEC are pretty well known. I mean, he's not been focused on it lately, but, you know, I mean, he's been fined by them. He, you know, has talked about how their, you know, regulations are, overkill, I guess, would be an easy word to describe it. I think it's just going to be very interesting to see. I mean, I was kind of like, you know, joking around a little bit, but, you know, will the 10K exist next year at this time? I don't know, you know, or maybe not in its current format. I mean, you know, and I think you can make an obvious argument. I mean, you know, as someone who reads 10Ks, you know, do they need to be, you know, 800 pages or 200 pages or something like that? Maybe there is a role to play in making that a little bit more concise. I just worry that, you know, you're throwing out sort of the baby with the bathwater. I mean, like, what is too much? And, you know, how do you strike a balance there in what investors deserve to know and, you know, what companies are willing to tell you?
We're going to see changes at the SEC for sure. How should companies
be? Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Gary Gensler is unlikely to be there. I mean, I would expect him to be leaving, you know, packing up his bags. I mean, I got to tell you, like, from people I know at the SEC, there was a lot of people brushing up their resumes yesterday, you know, because, and then, you know, I kind of joked about this or not. It's not such a joke when you're talking about jobs and everything, but where are they going? If they go, the normal path to go is to go from the SEC to big law, right, in defense. But if there's not as much enforcement, where do those people go, right? I mean, that's a serious question, but I definitely would expect to see some changes. And I think it really just depends on how much, you know, do I think that, you know, that Trump, you know, knows about the intricacies of the SEC and forward-looking statements? Probably not. Does he probably care about them? No, probably not. But I think that, you know, Musk, who put a lot of his own personal, you know, would have made a big investment in Trump, you know, has some very strong thoughts on the SEC. And it wouldn't surprise me if he was able to exert, you know, a certain amount of influence over it.
I'm just curious if any of you kind of see any major shifts in, you know, the regulatory environment for companies as a result of outsiders, including Elon Musk, potentially having some influence, if not formal role in a Trump administration.
I think it's a little bit scary if we think about rolling back too much regulation. President Trump took office previously in 2016. You know, he rolled back some of the provisions of the Dodd-Frank Act. And I think, you know, that was put in place for a reason because of the financial crisis of 2007 and 2008. However, I do think based on the way that the country voted, they look at people like President Trump and Elon Musk as like these business leaders who knows what's best for business. And they think that the deregulation will help spur the economy, help spur growth, help with the money in your pocket. But I do hope that any like significant severe changes, hopefully people will remember some of the sins of the past before we had a lot of these regulations in place.
It's hard to kind of think about what might just be talk and what might, you know, be actual policy and implementation of that actual policy. I think, you know, the immediate reaction from the market obviously signals there's excitement from the business community at the potential opportunity there, but totally agree with Chelsea, just hoping we can be careful to make sure that protections that are there for good reasons don't go too far out the door.
I do think there's some uncertainty in what candidate Trump has said as far as like tariffs, for example, or, you know, mergers and acquisitions and, you know, breakups over here, but maybe allowing, you know, consolidations to go forward elsewhere. I mean, clearly the market loved President-elect Trump, at least, you know, in the couple of days post-election. But if you think about, for example, tariffs, like, okay, maybe if I'm, you know, looking at acquiring one of my competitors, I might have a little more friendly audience with the FTC when, you know, Lina Khan is out the door. But then on the other hand, I might be looking at potential price increases because I need to, you know, accommodate for tariffs, for example. I think that we're probably going to see that pendulum swing back just a little bit on the enthusiasm, in part because there is a little bit of a lack of detail on you know, what exactly a Trump administration looks like for a variety of business issues, not just disclosure, taxes, tariffs, M&A. I mean, I think there's still a lot of questions, unanswered questions, that remain.
All right. Well, we appreciate all your perspectives. Do we have time for a closing question, Steve?
I sure hope we do. I love I only do this conversation for the closing question.
If you were running, what would have been your campaign slogan?
Okay, I'm going to jump in here so they can give Mark and Chelsea something to think about as they're formulating the answers. But I was involved in DECA in high school. It's a marketing club. And so funny that I, you know, am part of a marketing department now after being an accountant. And when I ran, my dad, who was ran an advertising agency, actually did like the campaign materials. And his slogan was, for me, I didn't choose this, vote for Steve Soter. He's cool. Dad, not your finest work. Probably not a very compelling slogan. But I did win the election. So whether or not that, you know, made a difference, I don't know.
I guess it worked.
Well, but I wouldn't use that one. That's my answer to your question. That wouldn't be my slogan.
So mine would probably be something about honesty, trust, and transparency, right? I think maybe those are along the lines of the values of the company I work for, and maybe I work for the company for a reason like that. But, you know, I think those are important things as you think about somebody serving in public office.
That's very on the mark for you.
Yeah. Maybe that should be his campaign slogan, on the mark.
There you go.
Since I came up with his, I can't outdo that.
I'll take it.
I think you get a pass on that, Chelsea. Yeah. Too bad it was for Mark and not for you, but well done.
I spent my childhood, my mom worked for an elected official, and I spent my childhood campaigning. My mom worked for the Utah State Treasurer, so every 4 years he was up for election, and she was in an appointed position. So since I can remember, since first grade, election night was really scary to me because it meant, does my mom have a job tomorrow or not? So I would always stay up late. So I've always had election anxiety, like going back to first grade. But with that said, I'm used to helping with campaigns, doing like the honk and waves, and I'm happy to have contributed, Mark, to your campaign slogan.
Nice. Well, thanks again to all of you. And thank you, dear listener, for surfing along with us. I'm Catherine Tsai. You heard Steve Soter. This has been Off the Books, presented by Workiva.
Please subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode with Xavier Giusto, who might have been seen at the IIA International Conference as a whistleblower in the 1MDB scandal. And if you like Off the Books, please leave a review. Tell your buddies if you like the show. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, drop us a note in the comments, or feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Dad, that includes you. Sorry I didn't like your slogan. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.